Hey everybody, before we get started, just a couple quick announcements. Number one, in case you missed last week's episode, I am on Patreon now. Just search patreon.com/characterprogression. You can donate to the show, help support what I'm doing, and help make the show even better than I hope you think it already is. Also, I'm now on Instagram, just instagram.com/characterprogression, or easier, just search character progression within the app. There'll be some bonus content in there, stuff you may not see on the Facebook page, which if you're not a fan of, also search character progression on Facebook. I'm everywhere now. I'm trying to get the word out there as much as possible, so just anything on social media, if you can think of it, then if you don't see me there, let me know. I'll create a profile there, I'll do whatever I can. Even MySpace. Maybe Tom wants to support me and be my friend. Who knows? But anyway, time to start the show. It's a good one on Uncle Iroh from Avatar The Last Airbender, so hope you enjoy.
Haven't watched Korra. I've watched the first, I think the whole first season. It might have been only half the first season, though. I'm not sure. But other than that, I just watched the scenes with Iroh. Anyway, but it's on my list. But I think a lot of my draw to Avatar is Iroh. So it's like, he's not in it. So, like, you know?
That makes sense. They have their own, like, take on what he represented for the show, but I can't think of anything that's going to be that effective.
No, and he didn't belong in the show. If they had somehow found some way, like, oh, he's a spirit and we're gonna keep him in it full time, I don't think it would have added to the story. I think his purpose was in Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah,
you know, so especially because it's supposed to be like the next generation and like, you know, Zuko has learned from Iroh what he's supposed to learn from Iroh. So it wouldn't have made any sense if he had been in Korra.
You're right. Like if they tried to just bring in Iroh directly, it would not have worked. It would have felt so forced.
Oh, yeah. No, and like the way that they did it, I completely support. I love what they did do with it. I guess I just don't connect with Korra the way I connected with Aang. And that might be different now that I'm older because I haven't tried to watch it since it came out. But I guess I was so attached to Avatar The Last Airbender that as a middle schooler or whenever the heck I was, whenever that one came out, I just didn't connect to Korra the same way. But I do like what they did with it. I think it's really cool. And I like the spirit world part because I think Iroh has a very mysterious past and everything. And I think the mystery behind, like, as far as I know, they haven't explained it in the show. Because I remember I read, like, a bunch of theories on it and everything about how he ended up in the spirit world. Because, like, he's visited the spirit world before, but somehow when he died, he ended up moving on to the spirit realm. And I think that's because of the theme of reincarnation in the show. And we know that the Painted Lady also moves on to Spirit Realm. And I think it was just that he reached his peak. So he accomplished what he was supposed to accomplish. And I think that's really cool. And that's powerful for people who were fans of Avatar The Last Airbender. And brings that like completion to Iroh as well. Because you get more completion with all the other characters. So I'm glad that they did reach that for Iroh, too.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the newest episode of Character Progression. I'm here with my guest, Vicky. If you couldn't already guess, we're talking about Uncle Iroh from Avatar The Last Airbender. So, Vicky, why don't you tell us how you first discovered the show of Avatar?
Okay, so one of the things that I really love about Avatar is it's followed me through my life. You know, most of my fandoms, you know, there's other ones, of course, that are going to be with me forever. Harry Potter's going to be with me forever. Star Wars is going to be with me forever. But I love that whenever I first started watching Avatar, I remember I was in fourth and fifth grade. And I was bullied a lot in elementary school. So all I really had was those things. You know, I didn't have really any close friends at that age. I had like one friend in my class and we talked about Pokemon and we talked about Avatar and that was it. So that's, I guess, where it started is like, I remember loving Iroh then too, but him and like his, I guess you could call it his proverbs, like his bits of wisdom. As I've rewatched the show, I watched it the first time then when it was airing, and then I rewatched it, I think late middle school, maybe eighth grade or seventh grade, and then once in high school, and then again recently, this last summer, I rewatched it. And his little bits of wisdom and his story arc, as well as Zuko's story arc, it's changed and evolved since I'm older and I understand things in a different light. Rewatching it now in college, I was like, oh my God, Zuko is 16. Obviously, their world, that's different. Aang and Katara are 12. So that's a different thing in their world, especially because it's supposed to be a different time period. But still, okay, come on. He's 16 years old. That's insane. So yeah, I think that's my favorite thing. That's where it started, and it's still like ever growing, and it's only so many seasons and so long, but the story had such an impact on me that I can keep watching it and keep gaining from it.
Oh yeah, it's easily, in my opinion, one of the best American animated shows of all time.
Oh, absolutely. And it has such strong Japanese influence, but in a way that it takes all the beauty of anime. You know, it's not anime by any means, but it takes some of the beauty from that. And also American cartoons, because we've got some cool cartoons going on too. But I think it's definitely one of our better ones, especially modern, you know.
So for anybody who's not familiar, who hasn't seen Avatar, who is Uncle Iroh?
So, Avatar The Last Airbender is about, I think most people know at least this part, of Aang. He's learning how to bend the four elements. And then there is Zuko, who is kind of the antagonist for the first season, at least. And then the lines get very blurred throughout the show. Zuko is chasing after Aang for the Fire Lord, because in order for the Fire Lord to continue taking over the world, Aang has to be out of the picture. So Zuko loses his honor. He's the Fire Lord's son, and he speaks out of turn. The Fire Lord was talking about killing many people, and Zuko spoke up about it. And because the Fire Nation is portrayed as kind of like a communistic nation, he gets disowned and banned from the Fire Nation and loses his princehood. And Uncle used to be a very powerful general, and he is the Fire Lord's brother, and actually should have been the Fire Lord, but after events in war and PTSD and all sorts of those events, Uncle realizes the evils of the Fire Nation, and the Fire Nation portrays that as, okay, our most powerful general has completely lost it. But that's not what happened. He just went through a change and he gained all this wisdom. So anyway, because of that change, they're like, let's just get rid of Iroh while we're at it. And they send Iroh off with Zuko to be his guardian. And I see Iroh as the third party in the situation. Iroh only attacks Aang and his group once throughout the whole show. It was in the first episode. So I think that Uncle is there to keep Zuko safe. That's his priority. He, of course, takes a side in the war, but he doesn't take the side until it becomes appropriate. And it comes in a moment that he can still keep Zuko safe. So he spends a lot of time, rewatching it, I realized this, he spends a lot of time swaying Zuko in the direction against the Fire Nation. He does it subtly at the beginning, and then it becomes more and more apparent. So that's basically his role in the plot. His role, if you want to dive any deeper, would be he's the wise old man in the show. He meets with people throughout the show. He meets with Toph, who is Aang's earthbending teacher. She gets lost and she's blind and she sees through her earthbending, but she can't find the rest of the group. And, you know, he meets with her and gives her his wisdom. And him and Aang have multiple talks where he shares his wisdom with him. And that's the basis of his whole character, is just the wise old man that has experienced things and seen things that has caused him to be different, be this almost mortal guide in a way. And I think that's really, really freaking cool.
I mean, like you said, his witticisms, his pieces of information, and the ideas he tries to portray are just such great life advice for both Zuko and the people watching the show.
Absolutely.
Since you've mentioned Uncle Iroh's advice that he gives to Zuko a few times so far, are there any that specifically stand out for you?
One of my favorite moments in the entire show is the third to the last episode of the whole show, and it's after Zuko has betrayed Iroh. And Zuko has spent some time helping Aang, but along the way searching for Iroh. And because Iroh is off in the world, he escaped prison and he's running around. He doesn't know where he is. And in that scene where Zuko finally finds Iroh, they are in a camp and Iroh is sleeping in his tent. And Zuko comes in and he sits with his legs crossed and he waits patiently for Iroh to wake up. Iroh wakes up, realizes what is happening, and doesn't do anything. And Zuko, who was trying to avoid spoilers, but he was burned by his father for speaking out of turn. That's his main character trait, is half of his face is burned by his dad because that was his punishment as well as being banished. That's what he's known for, discipline. That's what he's known from the mentors in his life, is that they will harm him. And Zuko says, like, I will do anything. You can do anything. You know, I'm so sorry and I deserve anything that you give to me. And Iroh has an unbelievable amount of power. But instead, Iroh hugs Zuko and starts crying and says, I was never angry with you. I was just afraid that you'd lost your way. And that scene makes me cry every single time I watch it, because it's just so powerful to me that Zuko's experience got turned on its head all in just one moment. And those words are so powerful to me because I want to look at people that way. You know, I want to be able to be hurt by a person and sometimes even know that it's better for me not to be around them anymore, but be able to see them as someone who is as damaged as I can be and another person, and not someone who is a monster. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to see people as people and be able to see when they're hurting and be able to forgive in that way. And of course, that's a special relationship because Zuko, even though he's his nephew, is basically his son. And that's a very special relationship. But that was just a beautiful sentiment to me.
Yeah, and that pretty much, for anyone who hasn't seen it, that pretty much sums up Iroh's personality and his role in the show and for Zuko in particular.
He was originally, I was reading this actually a few days ago, originally, he was supposed to be like a stern teacher. And I don't know how they got from point A to point B, but yeah, not a stern teacher anymore. He's just a loving old grandpa.
I mean, that happens sometimes. I don't know if you've ever seen, or honestly, if you're old enough to have seen Beast Machines.
No.
There was a point where there was a reveal that a character that we had been told was dead was alive and had been turned into an enemy, like against his will.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they wrote the scene and the whole reveal compared to the way that it came across on the show were completely different. And that was, and I don't know if this is the same thing with Iroh, but it was all the voice actor. He basically decided, I would rather portray the character this way. It would make more sense within the context of this character's role in the show from this point on, and rewrote the whole character around that.
That might have been it, because there was definitely rewriting. Because the moments when Uncle is actually stern with Zuko are so blinding, you know, like, it's definitely on purpose. So I don't think it was the voice actor alone, but throughout the writing, I do think that they were like, the show does not need a stern teacher. That's not what is needed. They need someone with an absolute blinding amount of kindness. The voice actor's amazing, though, because there's two voice actors. The first one was Mako, who, if you've seen Legend of Korra, they named a character after him. He passed away of cancer halfway through the show. And his understudy spent so much time studying his voice patterns and how he spoke as Iroh that in the show you can virtually tell no difference. Because I think that is a lot of like how that character was able to be portrayed. And the way that it was portrayed is, I think the voice actor had to be right. If they had picked anyone else, it wouldn't have been Uncle. You know, all the kindness comes through in his voice and the wisdom comes through in his voice. And I don't know anything about the voice actor's personal life, but I like to assume that he was Uncle.
I do the same thing. If there's a voice actor that becomes synonymous with a role to me, I always just assume that that's how the person actually is, even though I know in a lot of cases it's not possible.
Mark Hamill's not the Joker. But
yeah, no, it's true. He's very obviously Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, no, it would definitely be Luke Skywalker. But voice acting wise, it's like so convincing that you're like, you got to be a little crazy, right?
I mean, I think I've heard interviews before where he basically says that more of his portrayal of the Joker came from his mind than he wishes was true.
That sounds like Mark Hamill. That's totally off topic, but he is awesome. But yeah, that's the power of voice actors for sure. I think that requires so much talent to be a good voice actor. Not just talk, but make a character with just your voice. You know, it's a whole other breed of acting.
So you're actually the first person who's going to do this next section. I'm borrowing it from another podcast that I like called At Least There's This. And it's called Big G, Little G. So the big G is, how do you think the lessons of Uncle Iroh are good for the world? And then the little G, how do you think they're good for you in your own life?
Interesting. Okay, cool. Big G, the world is not kind. And, you know, Uncle has this, I'm not a religious person, but he has this spiritual sense that people relate to, whether or not it's accurate, relate to, you know, monks and spiritual leaders. And that is the part of that part of the world I wish we would get more hung up on. We value kindness as the attribute that we should all have. And I think that is Uncle, like we said earlier, is he's so kind and forgiving and loving. And he's also kind in a way that does not allow too much room for him or people he loves to get hurt. You know, he definitely fights in the show and he definitely uses his wisdom as well to know when it's time to step in. So not to view kindness in that way, but the world needs more of that, especially these days. I mean, we're just clawing each other's eyes out right now, all the time, all of us. And it's terrible to watch. And that's really it, is I you know, it's one of the reasons I wish the show was, you know, the show's big. And most people, especially from like, I don't know, 18 to late 20s, all of us know it. Most of us watched it, but I wish it was more mainstream because I think it's such a valuable lesson. And other people in the show also show that Aang is also portrayed as his main priority being to be kind. And I wish that lesson was taught more. You know, we talk about it, but I feel like it doesn't hit home for a lot of people.
Maybe when the Netflix show happens, because I know some of the original creators and producers are still going to be on board. So maybe they'll have another chance to make those lessons more mainstream.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And it could also push it into the mainstream for people who missed it being aired, the people who are younger than us, or even the people older, because Netflix has that kind of power. I'm hopeful for that whole series because of the people who are working on it, because at first I was like, come on, we already did the movie, we don't talk about it. That's the one and only time I'll mention this movie because it doesn't exist in my mind. But yeah, I'm hopeful that they're going to do better this time. Yeah, hopefully it'll push it more into the mainstream and get people talking about it.
But okay, now you're Little G.
Little G, like I said earlier, it has changed throughout my life. Like I said, even as a kid, Uncle was like the character to me. And I think I was just flabbergasted by him. I don't think I had like the comprehension to say why yet. You know, it was just kind of like, can I be him when I'm old? You know, like it was just that That was it. And also, like, even Zuko, who I've had a fantastic home life, but it has been just me and my dad because my mom split early. So watching Zuko have that parental figure who took the place of another one was powerful for me as a kid. And then I don't remember what I thought in middle school. High school, I think it started to move into what it is now with seeing how I want to be able to treat people with that amount of kindness. I have always had a temper, and it's not something that comes out very much, but it's definitely there. I have my dad's temper. It runs in the family. And when you're in high school, those negative qualities of you, you don't know how to control yet. And I think especially because that was the cool thing then, we all were like wearing too much eyeliner and everything. And we're just like, oh, no, screw the world. And I think that put that doubt in my brain of like, you know what? You're really bitter about nothing. Like, what's the matter? Which I think most teenagers have. When I rewatched that show, I needed that. You need to grow up. You need to stop. I don't know what you're so sad or angry about. Like, you're just, it's just the teenage mentality. And then when I got older, all of his words started to make sense. And I'm sure when I rewatch it later, there's still going to be things that I didn't think about before. Some of even just the small tidbits of quotes. I'm more obsessed with tea now than I ever have been in my life.
because of him or just in general?
Oh no, just in general. But I like in the show that, because for anyone who hasn't seen it, he likes the smaller comforts of life, and one of them is tea. He will make tea out of everything he can find, and that's like the ongoing joke, because he's obsessed with tea, and he's fat until he's not fat, but for most of the show he's fat. And I like to sit down in the morning, and coffee makes me wired. I also love coffee, but it makes me wired. And just sit with my tea and maybe watch YouTube and just be able to focus on, okay, we're awake now and we don't need to panic about anything. You know, like, it's just my life is so go, 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 go. I want to be able to pick up that tidbit of just sit for a minute and enjoy your tea. It's not about the tea. It's just about the chill for a second, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it's the moment.
Yeah. Just the smaller comforts of life. And that's something that if I'm anything like my grandmother, I'm going to be more and more aware of as I get older. And maybe that's something next time we watch it will become more apparent. But right now, like I said, especially with the way that the world is, you know, I don't want to get into anything that I shouldn't on this podcast, but I had a, I'm a substitute teacher. And yesterday we had a lockdown drill. And it absolutely broke my heart that all the students knew what to do. The world's always been rough. And in the grand scheme of history, we are just getting better and better. But because of social media and television and all these things, I think we're just more aware of some of the horrible things that happen in the world. And I think it causes a lot of us to be, like I said in high school, I was very angry and sad. And I think it's easy to grab a hold of that and focus on that. But instead, I think we need to be each of us in our own small ways. You know, there's this silly scene with Uncle where he's getting mugged. And of course, the mugger has no idea that he is a black belt and everything he could possibly be a black belt in. He's a fat old man. So, you know, Uncle kicks his butt and says, okay, so next time you should do this differently. And then shows him fighting moves. And then he says, but I think you're probably a good person and you don't want to be doing this. He said it in an uncle way. He didn't say it the way I said it. I don't know the exact quote, but the mugger just bursts into tears and like pans off for a little bit. And then it pans back and he's just crying and telling him everything and how he ended up where he is. And that's, like I said earlier, I wish we could view each other that way. Bad people exist, but they're still people. So all of that all wrapped into one, I think, is what Uncle means to me.
Okay. So then from that thought, if you had the opportunity to talk to Uncle Iroh, what would you say to him?
Oh, my God. I don't know that I'd be able to say anything statements-wise. I think I would just have a lot of questions. Just I think I would share with him my anxieties in life and like, how do I conquer that? You know, as a young person who is trying to figure out the world and figure out myself, how do I make myself the best I can possibly be to other people and to myself? How do I walk in this world with patience, and how do I accept the outcomes of everyday life? You know, like just the little things that make us panic. I would love to be able to, well, little things that make me panic, because I have a lot of anxiety and some of that is out of my control. And I know that, but I would definitely want to ask him life advice. What would you tell a young person who sometimes is just scared for no reason?
That actually flows perfectly into the last big question I want to get into with you. So looking at the lessons of Uncle Iroh that you got from the show and what he's meant to your own life, if you ran into somebody who is going through a tough time in their own lives, what kind of advice would you give to them?
I have a hard time not wanting to say the things that we say all the time. You know what I mean? Like, some of these things become meaningless when you're in a really dark place. But one of those things is that sometimes you have to wait for it to get better. And that's not advice anyone in a dark place wants to hear. But if I could ever reach a place in myself that I could use the right words to make that be something that someone in a dark place could hear, the way that I think Iroh does in the show over and over again, that's what I would want to do. Because, of course, that's super situation specific. But I think that is something that is always the case. I think no matter what situation you're in, you have to wait for it to get better sometimes. Of course, you've got to, you know, there's actions you have to take in every situation to make things better too, but bad things will never go away as quickly as we want them to go away. And I think when we're in those dark places, that's the main thing we have to remember, is it's going to get better. I think that's it.
Cool. All right. So that's kind of the end for the big questions. Now, I know you're a substitute teacher, so normally I would give you the opportunity to plug something. But you also have the option, if there's just anything you enjoy that's making you happy right now, you can plug that as well.
Well, I do theater, so I'll plug that a little bit. I'm stage managing. Funny thing happened on the way to the forum at Polk State. But I would like to just plug theater, too, because not enough people watch it. Theater's cool.
Any specific plays that stand out to you as just something that you love?
As much as I love musicals, because you got to love musicals, I love straight plays. And if I could tell anybody to read any straight play, it would be Cat in a Hot Tin Roof. I love Cat in a Hot Tin Roof. So I think, yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this, Vicky.
Thank you. I had fun.
I'm glad. All right, I'll talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye.